The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Great Harabonim, Rebbetzins, my Rebbetzin, and Marilyn, and all of the very, very fine, wonderful people that are here this evening. We thank you for coming, and we thank you for being such good friends, and we do hope that you will have a very pleasant evening, both in very, very good things to eat for the body, and also stimulating words of Torah for the soul. The title of the address this evening is What Has Happened to Derech Eretz. We're living in a world which there is a breakdown at almost every front. There's a breakdown of law and order, breakdown of morals, of the home, the family, so forth. Many South Africans think that these are problems plaguing South Africa, but I can tell you these are universal problems, international. There's almost no place free of these problems today. But there's something else that the world seems to have lost. It's certainly not much of a world of Torah and Torah values, but no longer is it even a world of Derech Eretz. The fact is, this is becoming alarming in all circles, and even in Torah circles. From time to time, I see bulletins coming from the United States or Eretz Israel, which are published by Torah Mesorah, other day school associations. And I see titles of talks: Why Can't We Teach Our Children Derech Eretz? I'd like to speak about this subject this evening in view of what our sages say about this topic, and also in view of what I had the great excuse to study by Telza Rosh Yeshivas, who were very, very great in Torah, and other Litvisha greats, which I know are very close to the hearts of the people who are here, because almost all of them come from that area. Now, firstly, what do we mean when we say Derech Eretz? The Maral Miprag explains: the Torah was given from an upper world, Olam HaElyon. That's the wisdom which decrees how man should live, because he is not only made of the earth, he also has a soul from higher worlds. But he's also made from the earth. He also lives on this world. He's not an angel. So therefore, there's another set of rules which complements the first, and that is what not the Chochmah HaElyena, the wisdom from above, decrees, but it is known as Chochmah HaTachtena, a lower level of wisdom decrees how man should live, that he should live in accordance to a set of rules in conduct, because he is a person from this world, he's a person who lives on the earth. And one complements the other. So this also is a chokhmah. It's a wisdom, and it's demanding. Demands a code of conduct. Therefore, when our sages refer to the words Derech Eretz, it encompasses many different things. For example, the Talmud is full of Derech Eretz, how a person should safeguard his health, his physical health, how he should guard his life, how he should deal with his parnosa, with his sustenance, with his work, how he should guard and use his money wisely, his dealings with his household, with his wife, with his children, his dealings with people, with society, manners and protocol, how he should eat, how he should drink, and so forth. All of this is lumped under the heading the sages refer to as Derech Eretz. And it's called Derech Eretz because Derech means a way, a direction. How he should walk, because he is a man of the world, he's a man of this earth. Many of these things he must do. If he does it, it's a prohibition. They border on Isa Heter of what one is, what is allowed and what is not allowed. Many others are not necessarily a prohibition if he doesn't, but it's, there are beautiful ways how a man should act, ways of refinement. Therefore it is called a derech. But the great rabbi of Prague asks, why is it called Derech Eretz? It should be called Derech HaOlam, the way one should walk in the world. Why the way one should walk in the land? That he answers, because when we refer to the world, we're referring to the entire world. When we refer to the Oretz, we're referring basically to the Yishuv, to the place where people live. For example, the land and not the sea, or the civilized habitations of men. And Derech Eretz is not the code of the world, it's the code of society, it's the code of civilization, it's the code of the Yishuv where people live. Therefore it's referred to as Derech Eretz. An example of this is the Gemara tells us in Masechet Kiddushin Daf Mem Amud Beis, Kol Shiyeshne, it's a Mishnah in the Gemara, Kol Shiyeshne B'mikra B'mishnah V'Derech Eretz. Any person who has absorbed Mikra, that's the written law, Mishnah, that's the oral law, and Derech Eretz, and he is a person, a civilized human being, then he will not very quickly come to sin. As it states, Vahuta Meshulish Lebi Mehero Yinotek, Shlema Melech said, King Solomon said, he has a tripled bond, and that tripled bond will keep him going in a straight direction. But someone who lacks none of this, he doesn't have the written law, he doesn't have the oral law, and he doesn't even have this proper conduct of society, then eino min hayishuv, then he is not civilized. It's interesting what the Mishnah calls him eino min hayishuv, he is not to be considered a civilized person. You know, we all remember our parents or grandparents, that someone who wasn't Derech Eretz, you would call him a wilde chaya, he was a wild animal. Well, this comes from here. He's not from to be considered from society. He's good living in the sea or living in the fields, but not in society. And the Maral explains the written law, that's the highest, and the way one should walk on the earth, that's the bottom, and the Mishnah, the oral law, is in between, and the three together make a person where he's total. If he lacks the first two, but at least he has the Derech Eretz, so then he's still a person of the world, he's still a person who walks on the earth. But if he lacks all three, then we do not consider him min hayishuv, he's not someone from this society. We get a little insight now into the world that we're living today. What kind of importance should we attach to Derech Eretz? Since we're saying it's the Chochmah Tachteinu, not the Chochmah Elyeinu, it's not the wisdom that comes from the heavens, it's the wisdom that the land demands. Perhaps we should not attach much importance to it. And there are many people today. They'll say the main thing is you have to be intelligent, you have to be brilliant, you have to be a great Lamdin, great in Talmud Chochom, or you have to be very frum. But what's Derech Eretz have to do with it? The fact is, there was one, a South African, who told me, he was overseas, And he came back here. Actually, South Africa is one of the few lands left in the world where there's still a little of the old flavor of their heritage left. And he said, and I'm speaking from our own Jews, he says, they say their heritage is not important at all anymore. After all, look at the Germans. The Nazis, Yimach Shemom, their manners, their punctuality is perfect. And look what they did. So what importance should we attach to this? There's a great error in the world. Amongst the modern secular world that today entirely rejects this code. Go to the campuses and see the way they dress, see the way they act. And in the Jewish world, and unfortunately even it has seeped into the Torah world, the sages tell us in the Medrash Tanhuma, it states, Ba'atem leiseitzu ish mipesach beisei ad boker. Torah advises that when you go on a journey, you shouldn't leave before the sun rises. Don't travel in the dark. It's not as safe. Now we find that this was not only told to small people, but even great people, even our forefathers, and even the prophets kept this conduct. When Abraham got up to go sacrifice Yitzchok, he waited till the dawn broke, till the sun rose. The same thing we see by Yaakov. The same thing we see by Shmuel, the same thing we see by Shaul. So then the Medrash says, if the Oves HaOlam, the great forefathers of the world, and even the prophets, who certainly they weren't so limited as we are to this world, and still they kept all of the codes of their heritage, then how much more so ourselves? And then even more. We find in Parshas Lech Lecho, when Avraham returned from Egypt and he was going back to Eretz Yisrael, it states Vayelech Lamasa'ov. He stopped at the same places where he lodged when he came down. Rashi tells us why. The Torah is teaching a person derech eretz. When a person travels and he's accustomed at staying at certain places, he should continue to. What is the reason for? Two reasons are given. One is otherwise people might think he wasn't satisfied and will put a shady name on the place where he stayed. Another reason is he could even give himself a bad name because people might think that he had to take a different place. But at any rate, we see that Avraham kept derech eretz, and the Torah took the time out, the Torah itself, to tell us this. Another example, in Chayei Sora, when Avraham was negotiating with the Bnei Ches that he wanted to buy some land to bury Sora, all of the negotiations go on. It states, Vayokam Avraham v'yishtachu la'amores l'Bnei Ches. When he came to speak to them and they said, we will listen to what you have to say, Abraham got up and he bowed down to them. Then again, when they said, we will give you what we want, what you want, Vayishtachu Avraham lifnei amoretz, Abraham bowed to them. Abraham was a gentleman. This was the way of the land. This was the way to show respect and to show thanks. Abraham did that. Even though this was the great Abraham, who was perhaps the greatest, but the beginning of the entire Jewish nation. And we see even the Almighty himself in Parshas Bereishis states, Vayomer Elokim, Naso Odom Bitzalmenu Kidmuseinu. Hashem said, let us create a man who will be in our own image. Now, who did he say this to? What does it mean, let us? So Rashi brings, from here we see the humility, the modesty of Hashem. even though the angels were not going to help in this creation, nevertheless, Hashem called together all of his angels to involve them also in this great discussion, in this great decision. And even though the Torah should not have written this, because it states, we shall make. So it implies that there's more, heaven forbid, than one God. Nevertheless, Leinimna Akosav Milame Derech Eretz Umidas Hanova. Still, the Torah did not want to hold back this lesson for us that we should learn Derech Eretz. What's the Derech Eretz? Sheagodl Nimlach Venetel Rishus Minakotin. That when a great person wants to do something and he's working together with other people, and he doesn't need the other people involved in the decision, nevertheless he should call them together and he should discuss with them and hear what they have to say. Involve them. This is the Derech Eretz. This is the proper protocol. So we see that the Oves, the forefathers, were very careful in this. Avraham, even the Almighty. The Gemara goes even further. The Gemara tells us, also in Kiddushin, Daf Mem, the Gemara says that if a person is not B'derech Eretz, then not only is he min ha'yishuv, he's not a civilized person, but posel eidus. We cannot accept him to give testimony. This, a person who constantly eats in the marketplace, he doesn't have proper conduct or manners, he's compared to a kelev, to an animal, to a dog. Because this is very good these are very good manners, this is very good conduct for the kelev, for the dog, but not for a person. What is the reason for that? So Rashi explains why is it that we cannot accept his testimony. So Rashi tells us, the kibun shena min ha'yishuv ein makbid al atzmoi ve'ein lebeishis ponim v'chein ha'echel bishuk. He has no respect not only for others but even for himself. The Torah required that not only must we respect others, but we must respect ourselves too. If we were made in the image of the Almighty, then we have to be very careful, not only towards other people, but also to ourselves also. And since this person is not B'derech Eretz, and he doesn't care how he eats or where he eats, so this shows that he has no self-respect for himself, and he has no busha. He has no shame. And if he has no respect for himself, then how can you rely on his testimony in court in regards to respect for others, in regards for respect to for the truth? There's a similar Gemara in Psochim. In Psochim, Dav Gimel Amad Beis. Hani Trei Talmidei. There were two disciples. They were sitting in front of Rav. Rav was a great sage. And Rav gave that day a long shir and a difficult shir. And after the shir, one said, Shavisin Hashmaitzikid Dover Achem Esankin. And one said, Shavisin Hashmaitzikid Dim Esankin. One said that I'm so tired after this difficult shear, I'm as tired as a tired goat. The other said, I'm as tired as a tired chazir, as a tired swine. And the one who said that I'm as tired as a tired swine, Rab wouldn't speak with him anymore. Cut off relations with him. Rabbeinu Hananel says why. Lefisha dibar al atzme genai. Because he referred to himself in a disgraceful manner. So not only are we required to show respect, does Derech Eretz require us to show respect to others, but to hold oneself in dignity also. And this is a halacha. This is the Jewish law. The Rambam brings it in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Eidus. The Rambam says, someone who is not learned in written law, he's not learned in the oral law, and he's not b'derech eretz, he does not have proper conduct of mention, hareze b'cheskes rosh v'l'posel leidus b'divreihem, then we consider him a wicked person, and the sages refuse to accept his testimony in court. Therefore he says that when we take a witness in court, if he's learned it, if he's a Talmud Chochem, that's the best witness. But if not that, then you must at least have someone who's, he does a few mitzvahs, he's a gemilas chesed, he does chesed, he's neig bedarkei yeshorim, he's an upright person, v'yesh bei derech eretz, and he has proper conduct. Otherwise we cannot accept him. Not only do we find, as quoted, the great importance of this category that we're referring to, but actually we see that it has even priority to Torah. In the Tanya de Eliyahu, states, Lishmor es derech eitz chaim, derech ze derech eretz, eitz chaim zu atora. Melamed shekodmu derech eretz letera alpayim shona. Derech eretz was given to the world 2,000 years before the Torah was given. Torah was not officially, was not studied at a great level until the time of Abraham. But Derech Eretz was given right at the creation of the world. So therefore it preceded the Torah by 2,000 years, 26 generations. And why is this? Because before a person can come to the wisdom of the heavens, he has to have the wisdoms of the earth. Before you can build a tower, you have to have the foundation. This is the way we see the growth of the entire world. For example, a child. When a baby is born, the first many years of his life are totally used and dedicated to the basic growth developments, physical growth developments, fundamental growth developments. Only later does the mind start to mature. Does the soul start to mature? Only later does he reach for higher things. So this is what is meant, that Derech Eretz is Kodma the Torah. This also has an aspect in Halacha. The Rambam writes, in Perek Yud Aleph, in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Talmud Torah, Ein belamdim teire ele le Talmud hogum, no b'maisel. You know, we used to hear often our fathers, our grandfathers, you want to learn teire, fear dav zayin a mensch. You want to go and study Torah, first you have to be a mensch. The talk, the sayings of the Litvish Jews were full of Torah because they came from such intensive Torah communities. Well, this is the Rambam says. He says, you don't teach Torah to anyone who comes into the Beis HaMedrash. In the yeshivas of Litta, they didn't accept anyone who walked in. You teach Torah only to a person, Hogu Noah B'maisov, a person who has beautiful deeds, who has beautiful ways. If he hasn't studied Torah, all right, then we must teach him. But he must be Bederech Eretz, he must be a gentleman. He must be have beautiful ways. He must be a refined person. What happens if a person comes and he doesn't have nice ways? Then you take him out of the Beis HaMedrash. And you teach him outside of the Beis HaMedrash Derech Eretz. Only later, when he's become a mensch, then you bring him into the Beis HaMedrash of Malandin Eisoyim, you teach him. Omru Hachomim, the sages say, that whoever teaches Torah to a person who's not yet a mensch, that's Kizedek Nesein Leksil Kovet, that is giving honor to a fool. Because Torah is the greatest gift of the Almighty. It states that Torah he wrote, Torah he created 974 generations before the creation of the world. And this was his greatest gift. When he gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu, the angels stormed and they said, why are you giving this great treasure to the earth? So now you take and you give it to anyone. In Kovet, there's no greater honor than teaching someone Torah. Therefore, someone who teaches a boor, a person, an uncouth person, Torah, that's giving honor to a fool. And this is what the sages say in the Mishnah Novos, Imein Torah, Imein Derech Eretz, Ein Torah. That if a person doesn't have Derech Eretz, then the Torah is not a Torah. It collapses. There is no foundation. But as we mentioned, one complements the other. Imein Torah Ein Derech Eretz. If a person has only Derech Eretz, well then, he has come to a certain level. But man was made to grow into a greater level. So if it's not complemented with Torah, then the Derech Eretz also is not a Derech Eretz. This is the answer why we see nations like the German Yimach Shemom and others that can be very great in Derech Eretz, but they had no Torah. So therefore also they can become beasts. Another important principle in Derech Eretz is that it's nishtana mimokam lamokam. The rules, there are certain rules which are never changing, but there are other rules which change in accordance to the time and the place. Many of these principles are what the particular society deems acceptable, deems tasteful. So they change from place to place. And we have to go after the place that we're living in. For example, if in the Far East they wear one type of dress, so then we won't wear that type of dress here. Or vice versa. The Gemara tells us how far we must go to be careful not to change the ways of their heritage in a particular place. What it tells us in Bar Metzia. In Bar Metzia, the Tevov Amad Beis, Omer of Tanchum Bar Chadiloi, Le'olam Al Yishanu Odom Min HaMinug. A person should never change the prevalent customs of that place. Shehari Meisha Ola L'morim. Because Meisha, when he went up to the heavens to receive the Torah for 40 days, Lo Ochal Lechem, states he didn't eat for 40 days or 40 nights. Why? Because he was with the angels, and the angels do not eat. Umalachi ashorish yodu lamato, and when the angels came down to visit Abraham, to visit Abraham, and he fed them a meal, they ate. Because they didn't want to change the custom. Now here we're not speaking of customs in halacha and Jewish law. It has nothing to do with Jewish law. There's another halacha at stage later stated, if you come into a shul and they have a certain custom to daven one way or to do certain things one way and you do it a different way, no, you have to follow the custom of the place that you come to. Publicly, privately, you can do what you want, but you must follow the practice which is being practiced in that shul or that base of medrash or that city or that community. That's different though. Here we're speaking where it has nothing to do with Jewish law, whether Moshe would have eaten or whether angels wouldn't have eaten. That has nothing to do. This is only derech eretz. This is only common courtesy. Taisva says here, the Gemara says that the angels didn't actually eat, but they made off like they ate, because they didn't want to change from the common practice here. Taisva brings from Eliyahu Rabbah, it's one of the sages, that says, Leike eisen shemen niroin ve'eichlin. No, not that they made off like they were eating. Ela eichlin v'sheisin mamish. They actually ate and drank. Mitnei kfedish l'Avraham. Because of the honor of Abraham. You come into someone's house and he tells you to eat or drink, then you eat and drink. If you can't, if you go into a home and you're afraid you can't eat there because of kashrus, then you don't go. But if you're there, if you can go and you go, then you must. The Maral asks, he asks a good question. He says, what do you mean that Moshe went up to the heavens and he didn't eat for 40 days or 40 nights in order not to change the custom of the place? I mean, could Moshe turn himself on and turn himself off? He decides he's not going to eat for 40 days. How could he do that? For sure the Almighty did that. So he said, that's what the Gemara means. The Almighty held it was so important that one should not change the protocol of the place that he made a miracle that Moshe would not have to bother, would not be required to eat for 40 days or 40 nights in order that he should not have to change the minhag hamokom. So therefore we see how one must be careful to keep the derech eretz and kol mokom hamokom kefi minhagei, every place in accordance to the way they act, the way they do. Now I would like to take a few minutes and to perhaps just go a little more into detail. For example, let's talk about a category of a person's dress and the person's dealings with other people. Rambam brings. Now here the Rambam is speaking, in one section he speaks about everyone, but here he's speaking especially by someone who's learned. See, we find just to the contrary. Not like many people think that if you're learned, you have to practice less derech eretz. We find that the obligation of a learned person is even to practice more derech eretz. He says as follows. Just like the wise are apparent through their wisdom, so must they be apparent through their conduct, through the way they eat, they drink, through the way they speak, the way they walk, the way they dress, the way they do business. And all of their actions must be noim, must be beautiful, umisukonim b'yeser, and as perfect as possible. For example, when someone eats, he should not eat like he's starving. He should not be a glutton, but he should eat what is necessary for his health. Shouldn't overeat. He shouldn't run grabbing the food. The same way when he drinks. And he goes into detail. Then he says, a wise person, speaking about this, a wise person in Torah, when he speaks to people, he must not raise his voice, he must not yell or scream, like animals do. But Benachas in Kolabrius, he must speak softly and kindly to everyone. On the other hand, not too softly. Otherwise, it seems like he doesn't want to talk to the person. He's arrogant. He should be friendly. He should be the first one to give shalom to everyone. He should make sure that people like him and enjoy him. Rabbi Yechanan used to say that no one ever gave me shalom first. I always greeted them first. He should judge everyone favorably. He shouldn't be critical of people, but judge everyone favorably. He should always speak praiseworthy. He should be praiseworthy of people and not be critical. he should love peace. He should pursue peace. If he feels that what he says will be listened to, then he should speak. If not, then he should be quiet. And then he goes into more detail. He should be careful that whatever he says is correct. He should never lie, unless where the Torah gave him permission. For example, in the case of to save the peace. When he walks, he should walk upright, but he shouldn't hold himself too upright where he wants to make himself look like a king. And he should layorutz, he shouldn't run through the streets kiminig mishugoyim, like mishugoyim do. His dress should be beautiful and clean and spotless. Not allowed that there should be any dirt on his dress whatsoever. He should not dress extravagantly like the kings do. On the other hand, he should not dress poorly, like an impoverished person, but beinonim, in the middle. He should, his business must be perfect, beyond reproach. He must say no when it's no and yes when it's yes. Must be very careful. And so forth. Then he concludes, Klola shel dover. Yemin anidofim velemin aretfim. He should better be from those who are pursued than those who pursue others. It's better he should be from those who are insulted than those who insult others. If he will do, follow this way, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says on him, Avodai ato Yisrael asher b'cho espoel. These are my servants Yisrael, which I take pride in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouts out to the nations, this is my nation Yisrael, which I take pride in. There's an interesting story that I would like to quote. There was a great netziv, Reb Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. He was from the family of the Voloshinus, Reb Yitzchok Voloshin, Reb Chaim Voloshin. He lived in the 1800s. Reb Chaim was the famous disciple of the Vilna Gaon. And Reb Chaim had built the famous yeshiva Voloshin, which was known as the mother of all the Lithuanian yeshivas, because all of the Rosh yeshivas who later developed Litvish yeshivas had studied there. Incidentally, the first yeshiva to follow the Voloshin yeshiva was the Mir yeshiva. Then later on Tels, the Slobotka, and other such yeshivas. He had a nephew, Reb Naftali Tzvi Berlin, became the Rosh Yeshiva Voloshin, and he had a nephew by the name of Reb Baruch Epstein, who wrote the Sefer Torah Tamima. This was the son of Reb Yechiel Michel Epstein, who was the Nevarik Rav, and wrote the Sforim Orach HaShulchan. Reb Baruch Epstein wrote a biography of the Netziv, and he wrote about his experiences with him. He was a young boy, and he came to Voloshin Yeshiva, and even though he was really too young to get in, but since he was the nephew of the Rosh Yeshiva, so he came. And his uncle used to keep a close eye on him. So he writes an interesting story. He used to sit with his uncle in his uncle's study every afternoon when his uncle would answer correspondence. So one day he said, "Do you think you could address an envelope for me?" So he answered, "Sir Baruch Epstein, of course." So his uncle said, "The Netziv, I'm not so sure, but let's give it a try." So he gave me an envelope, and he said, "Address the envelope to Rab Dr. S. Schubacher, Odessa." And he gave him the address. So the nephew asked, "What province is Odessa in?" He said, "Odessa is in Kherson." But, he says, "Why is that important now?" So Reb Baruch said, "Of course it's important. Without the province, the address is incomplete." So his uncle answered and said, "You see, I didn't think you could address a letter." He says, "You don't put on the province Ayadesa. Provinces are necessary to put on when you're writing to a small village or a townlet and they don't know where it is in the post office. But here Odessa is much more well known than Kherson. So you don't have to write Odessa. So he said, in my youthful innocence, I said, but after all, what harm could there be putting it on? So his uncle answered, he says, the harm can be that the postal clerk in Volozhin or some other city all the way to Odessa will take a look at the letter and have a good laugh at the writer's expense. What kind of writer is this? They will think that he has to tell us where Odessa is. So seeing that my uncle was in a playful mood and he had allowed himself to be drawn into this everyday conversation, I said softly, so what is so terrible if they laugh? He says, that did it. The soft, easygoing manner of speech was replaced with hard words of reproof. He spoke to me harshly, taking a pause between each and every word to let them sink in. He says, a man who does not worry that people will laugh at him is lacking the feeling of human dignity. According to the halacha, he is disqualified from giving testimony. I was anguished and shocked at the message, but I asked, what does all this have to do with giving testimony? So my uncle started to bring out books, and he brought out the Shulchan Aruch Heshem Mishpat. People who are not particular about their own shame are disqualified from giving testimonies. The commentaries explain that since such a person has no self-respect, we cannot be sure he will be deterred from perjuring himself by the public shame and embarrassment being found out in such a crime. Then he showed me another source in the Beis Yosef, Laws of Tisha B'Av. When a Jew is not allowed to wear shoes, but if he's going through streets of non-Jewish people, he's allowed to in order that the pagans will not laugh at us for going barefoot. And on it went. Then when my uncle saw that I was so upset, he tried to calm me down. But he said that you're still a child. He took his hand. He says, but when you grow up and live amongst men, you will understand how low and disgusting it is to degrade oneself. To our great misfortune, this trait has become implanted in too many of our people. So this is similar. This is of the source that we had quoted before. There's another Gemara in line with what we're speaking. A person is not allowed to do anything which will make someone else disgusted with him. The Gemara in the Chagigo, Tafei, states, Ki as kol ma'ase lekim yova b'mishpat al kol nela. Hashem will judge every person for everything that he does, even if it's concealed. When the Be'echanan used to read this, he used to weep and say, this is how difficult and how strict the judgment is. Gemara says, what is it referring to, even if it's concealed? Rav says, if a person has an insect, some type of insect on his clothing, and he kills it in the presence of his friend, and the friend becomes repelled because of it, that's an avera, and he'll have to be called to judgment for that. Shmuel omar zeharok bifnei chaveiro v'nimas. A person who spits in the presence of his friend, and his friend is repelled with this, he will have to give judgment to this. So we see that anything a person does, if it causes disgust by someone, if it's not refined, or it calls it, that he'll have to, there'll be a judgment on it. The tells the Rosh Yeshivas, the Rebbe Yemeir Bloch Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, Chaim Mordechai Katz Zecher Tzadik Levrocha. They were impeccable in their dress, in their hygiene, in the way they walked, in their dealings with people, in their pursual of peace with the community, and they were very, very demanding that their disciples follow suit. Fact is, they used to tell their disciples, if you want to wear your tzitzis out, that you must do it very, very neatly. If not, better wear them in. They were very, very much against. This goes back to Reb Chaim Volozhiner, where he was very strict, especially with the Yeshiva Bocher, because he was an ambassador to Torah, they used to say, against shabbiness. I don't know, today we see an awful lot of it. I don't know where it comes from. I never saw it in the Litvish Yeshivas. Some related to Musar. Let me quote something else from the same book that I just quoted. He says, I remember one particular incident that left a deep impression on me. This Reb Baruch Epstein was sitting in a Beis HaMedrash in Vilna, when suddenly an old, distinguished-looking man walking in wearing immaculate rabbinical garb without a spot or wrinkle. His whole bearing exuded complete order and cleanliness. He literally sparkled from head to toe. It was truly a pleasure to look at him. His facial expressions mirrored his uniform. He had a shining face and perfectly combed hair. Obviously, he was a very important, highly regarded individual. And the Shamus of the Beis HaMedrash came over to him. It was the Vilna Gaon's Beis HaMedrash. After the Vilna Gaon had died, this was in the last century. And he brought over some manuscripts from the Vilna Gaon to show him. The distinguished guest, who had swept away any particle of dust from the bench before sitting down, took a lustrous silk yarmulke from his pocket, took off his hat, placed the yarmulke on his head, and began to study the manuscripts intensely. He didn't know who this man was. Who do you think he was? Finally, he found out this was the great Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Musa movement, by Rabbi N.H. Linzer, who became a famous chaplain in the Second World War. He had studied in the Lomza Yeshiva. He writes like this: I came to understand why Rabbi Gordon of blessed memory was called the Prince of the Rosh Yeshivas. He treated every yeshiva youth as a prince. Whenever young men of his yeshiva went out, people stopped to look at them. So impressive were they in appearance. Everything about them bespoke dignity. The Rosh Yeshiva always saw to it that his protégés were well-dressed, even though the financial situation of the yeshiva was in difficulty. I might be mistaken, but I think Lomzer was on the poor side of Litter. It was more on the Russian side of Litter than on the German side, so which means that it was poor and it wasn't as modern. And this is how he describes a yeshiva bocher in Lomz. Rabbi Avrom Chaim Lapin told me, Slobodka, he says, there they were better dressed than any other yeshiva. And there in the Slobodka yeshiva, the head of that yeshiva was Rabbi Notitzvi Hirsch, who was from the great Bali Musa. We can look today, we go on the campuses, and you see the way people dress, and we get an idea of how Derech Eretz has been lost from the world. This has become acceptable. Another category, for example, when someone comes into a shul, a Beis HaMedrash, or he does a mitzvah, he must realize that's a sanctuary to Hashem. It states, Zeh Keli V'Anvehu, that whenever we do mitzvahs, we must beautify them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it states, Yisnoya Lefonav B'mitzvahs. The Gemara tells us, when you do a mitzvah, you must be careful not to do it in any way which will cause a bad experience, a disgusting attitude. Shalei Tei Mitzvahs B'zuyis Olam. And a person walks into a shul, he must be properly dressed. He must give it the right honor. I remember one time there was a whole row here with the Chevra Kedisha because someone pitched up either at a funeral or to visit a gravestone, and he was in shorts and tennis shoes, and the Chevra Kedisha didn't want to let him on, and he couldn't understand why not. People go like that. The same thing we always hear. If ever non-Jews come into a shul, they can't get over how much talking there is in a shul. They can't understand it. Jews in the shul, this is not Derech Eretz. It's not talking about, that's if what is being said is is not Lashon Hara or gossip or rechilos, even if it's innocent talk. Many times the talk is so much that you can't even hear the davening or the reading of the Torah. Or if someone is speaking, what is that there? Heretz. I remember in Tells, you could hear a pin drop, and if not, the Rosh Hashivas let you know if someone would speak while someone was talking or davening. When it comes to eating, the Maral writes that the main derech eretz has to do with eating. He says, because when a person doesn't eat properly, that creates a very bad impression to others. And the Gemara is full on how people should eat and drink. I recall when the European Rosh Hashivas came to America, they were taken aback because the American boys, see, the Americans were not that advanced in derech eretz. They used to drink at Shabbos or Shalashudas, they used to drink Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola from the bottles. And they used to say, a shikah drink from fleshful, that a drunkard would drink from the bottle. But not only in that, the Gemara is full of derech eretz on what a person should eat, how he should eat. How many times did we used to hear from our parents or Zaydis, Zitz and es wie a mensch, sit down and eat like a mensch. Kfir Suda used to be, you would sit down, you would wash, you would eat, you would bench. Today we live in the go-go world, nobody has time for it. What to eat? The Gemara considers anyone who eats wrong foods or he eats too much, that's also lav derech eretz. And then finally, how a person must interact with his household. This is very important. With his wife, mother and father, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters. The first principle in derech eretz in a home is shalom bayis, that there must be peace in the house. Siluk hamachlokes, to drive out strife and an unrest. Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Chanukah, he says that if someone had enough money for a candle for Shabbos and for the Hanukkah candles, it came out Shabbos was on Hanukkah, or he had enough money only for Hanukkah licht, for the candles of Shabbos candles or the Kiddush, what should he use it for? He says he must buy Ner Shabbos with it, the candles of Shabbos, because the candles of Shabbos bring peace into the house. And peace always comes first. Shaharei Hashem nimchak lasei shalom beinish leishtai. The Almighty erased his own name in order to bring peace between man and wife. Godol HaShalom, how great is peace. Shekol HaTorah nitna lasei shalom be'olam. The entire Torah was given to bring shalom into the world. As it states, Rochel Darchei Neyam b'chol nesiveseho shalom. The ways, her ways are ways of beauty, and all of her ways are peace. The Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, wrote a letter to his household when he was traveling to Israel. It was aborted, he never got there. But when he wanted to go, he wrote a letter to his household. And the majority of the instruction was on how to keep peace in the house, how there should not be faribles, how there should not be fighting. And chinuch habonim, to educate the children in this, to educate them, to that they should speak kindly to people. They should not curse, they should not fight, they should honor their parents, they should honor everyone who is older than them. Rabbi Yechanan, the Gemara brings, even used to an old goy, a non-Jew, would come. He would help him, he would give him honor. The Gemara tells us in Bamitzia, Nun tes, le'elam ye odem zoyer beinos ishtai. A person must be very, very careful in words that he says that should not hurt his wife. Shemitek shedimose metzuye noise kreva. Because tears are close, And therefore the hurt is close. Helva says, Le'elam ye'odim ze'eh b'chved ishtay. A person must be very, very careful in how he honors his wife. She'en brocha metzuyah b'seh b'seh shalodim ele b'shvil ishtay. Blessing comes into a man's house because of his wife. As we see that Avraham became wealthy because of Sarah. Rava lived in Mechuza. He used to tell the people of Mechuza, he says, honor your wives and you'll become wealthy. Because wealth comes from honoring one's wife. The Rambam brings, he says, the sages have commanded us that a person must honor his wife more than himself and love her like himself. And he must share with her his material wealth. And he should not place in his household a degree of terror and fear. He should speak with her kindly and softly. He shouldn't be depressed in front of her. He shouldn't be angry. And so is she commanded to give him utmost respect and to do what he desires. This is the key to Shalom Bayis, utmost respect between husband and wife. And the Rambam says, V'zeh derech b'nei Yisrael b'nei Yisrael akdeshi v'atere b'zibugin. He says, this is the way of the daughters of Israel and the sons of Israel in their holy unions. U'bedrochim eile yeh yeshuv en noa meshubach. And in this way, their homes will be beautiful and praiseworthy. Respect is the key to peace. And also that the home should not be a home of Lashon Hara, of Rechilas, of gossip. The Gaon kept instructing on that. To teach the children not to gossip, not to say bad things about others, because that brings the Satan, that brings the devil into the house, and that brings Churban HaBayis. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because of the Lashon Hara and the hatred because of Jews. And the home is a miniature Beis HaMikdash. Sometimes people ask me, they say, is it proper? Should you stand up for a woman? Many places this is considered the proper etiquette, the proper protocol. Now, who are you referring to? If you're speaking about a woman, she's educated in Torah, then you have to give honor to Torah. The Gemara says, if she's a Rebbetzin, an Eishes Chover, a wife of a Talmud Chochom, you also must stand for her. If it's your mother, the Gemara brings Rabbi Yosef, the Gemara in Kiddushin, Rabbi Yosef, when he would hear his mother come in, he used to jump up to his feet, and he used to say, the Shechina, the Holy Presence is coming. If it's to his wife, the Gemara says, you have to honor her more than yourself. If it's to your older sister, the Gemara tells us that one is obligated to honor his older sister. If it's to other women, if that's the Derech Eretz, then why not? Unless he's worried that he should not waive his masculine superiority. But the Gemara says that anyone, even a Talmud Chacham, even an Osi, a prince in Israel, has a right to waive their own honor. So certainly in this case. And this was always considered a great home in Israel. When they spoke of great homes, they didn't speak of homes like we speak of homes today. They spoke of homes that were great in chesed, in helping people, great in stokah, in charity, great in achnosis orchim, in bringing in guests, great in shalom, in peace, great in rearing children. And finally, this is something that we must always learn over and over, because the Gemara tells us, Dalet Srichin Chizuk, there are certain mitzvahs that need strengthening all of the time. And one is mentioned, Derech Eretz. And the reason for this is because it goes against our nature. Our nature, the earthly, raw nature of man, he doesn't want to do what any wisdom dictates. He wants to be like a Vildachaya. He wants to be like someone from the field. So therefore it's demanding, it's a discipline. But this is important, not only for us, but where it's very, very important, is for education of children. It used to be that we lived in a world of Torah. Then came a time we lived in a world where there was no Torah, but at least there was Derech Eretz. Today, if you look around, you find that the Derech Eretz in most places has disappeared or quickly disappearing. We live in a world that lacks even Derech Eretz. And maybe that's why we hear people saying that the law of the jungle rules. Old timers remember this from their communities, from their parents. How many times did their parents used to say, Sei ein Mensch, sei nicht kein wilder Chaya, geh wie ein Mensch, ess wie ein Mensch. Young people don't remember too much. Children, where are they going to learn from? Therefore, it's a great crisis all over the world, even in Torah circles, with children. And therefore, it's very, very important that children must be educated in this, in the homes, in the schools, wherever possible. We're holding now right before the giving of the Torah. And to come to Torah, one has to have Derech Eretz. May we all be zeche to see not only the crown of Derech Eretz return to us, but also the crown of Torah. May we all be zeche to have a very, very good Yantiv Chag.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.